Do good, be good, make good. By Coffee World, your local digital print shop offering quick design and printing services for projects of all sizes. By Green Mountain Power, partnering with customers on energy innovations while delivering clean, reliable, and cost-effective power, as well as over 750 VBSR businesses.
Welcome to this week's Vermont Conversation. This week we're going to be looking at two issues that have been in the top of the news in the past weeks. In our first half hour, we're going to be talking about some of the renewable energy siting controversies that have been arising in Vermont, particularly around the issue of farmers and objections that they have raised to renewable energy rules being proposed in the legislature. In the second half hour, we're going to look at the Fight for 15, the national effort to pass $15 minimum wage laws that have recently passed now in California and in New York. We'll be speaking with a national organizer for that effort. But first, we're going to turn to the issue of renewable energy siting. We're going to be joined first here by James Moore. He's a co-founder of Sun Common. James, welcome to the Vermont Conversation.
Thanks for having me on today.
So explain what is being proposed in the Vermont legislature and where things stand now about new rules regarding siting of renewable energy.
Yeah, there are really a couple key ingredients. There's kind of some high-stakes policymaking happening right now in Vermont regarding our clean energy future. Some of it's in the legislature and some of it's at the Public Service Board, where they're drafting new rules for solar that will take place in new rules that will kind of kick in 2017. And I think that's the first place to look. The new draft rules for 2017 will do two really big things when it comes to siting these kind of community-sized arrays with farmers' support. One is that really there's a dramatic reduction in the value that the solar, folks who are part of the solar array will receive on their utility bill. Now, to be clear, this is for new customers who sign up in 2017. None of this will impact folks who already made the decision to go solar or who choose to go solar this year. So these are new rules that will take place in the future. But it reduces the value by 30 to 40%. So there's a real question about whether or not we will have a strong, viable industry kind of doing solar at that community scale and farm scale.
And how exactly does it reduce the value of the renewable installations?
Yeah, so if a farmer signs up now and has, 1 acre solar array, and maybe they're getting, half of the electricity there on the farm and half of the electricity goes to, homes in the neighborhood or homes, in the same utility area, that farmer and those homes are receiving credits on their bills for all of the solar power that's produced at 19 cents a kilowatt hour. The new draft rule would reduce that compensation down into the 15 or 16 cents. And on top of that, the farmer, if they own the solar array, would be required to receive that future compensation, would be required to effectively give the renewable energy attributes to their local utility, whereas now that farmer would have the ability to retire them on their own or to, sell them into the regional market to help pay for the construction of the solar. So there are a few different ways, but the bottom line is, a farmer is going to be looking at 30 to 40% less for solar built on in next year than they will this year. And that's really significant and probably going to dry up a significant portion of the marketplace.
Where is this coming from, this initiative?
There are a lot of stakeholders involved there. So the utilities are clamoring for, you know, wanting to pay less. There have been a number of neighbors who don't want to look at solar and who have voiced concerns there about, you know, what their neighbors are allowed to do with their own land. And there are some towns who have felt like, you know, they've been disproportionately, you know, hosting these community scale solar facilities. So I think there are a lot of things pushing for a reduction in the compensation that, you know, a farmer or, you know, a business owner would get that are driving to these changes.
So what is the status of where this stands now, the likelihood of it passing through the legislature and becoming law?
Yeah, so the second piece of it is that legislative component. And there, you know, it's important for us to take a step back and think about, you know, the legislators are elected by all of us across this wonderful state that we get to live in to represent us. And Vermonters overwhelmingly support solar energy being a significant part of our electricity supply and really the right for homeowners and farms and businesses to be able to go solar and offset their usage to help increase our energy independence here in Vermont and reduce our reliance on out-of-state fossil fuels and contribute in a positive way to addressing climate change. And it's really important that our elected officials, you know, respond and respect what we, the people across the state, are asking for, which is, you know, we want more solar, not less. Unfortunately, there have been a minority of legislators who are pushing policies that would make it much harder for solar to be built and or, you know, retroactively punishing solar customers, you know, folks who chose to go solar in the past. There was a lot of controversy around a Senate bill a week or two ago, and most of the worst, you know, amendments to that bill were denied by the Senate. There are a couple that certainly raise the bar and make it more challenging for Vermont to develop renewable energy moving forward by, you know, loading up the permitting process with extra costs, extra lawyer time, and that's going to be a real challenge for folks who want to see solar move forward, and honestly, for folks who, you know, want to have a good process to make sure that their voice is heard. You know, if it's just all about legal representation and bogging down projects, that's probably not the best process for Vermont moving forward.
We're talking with James Moore. He's the co-founder of Sun Common, and we're talking about some of the legislation that's currently in the Vermont legislature regarding the siting of renewables. James, how do you respond to the critics who are saying the solar trackers and other renewable installations are ugly and they don't want them and communities should have a say in where they go?
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, that's for sure. We have to respect, you know, basic property rights. And that, you know, if my neighbor wants to paint their house blue and I don't like the color blue, well, you know, that's my neighbor's house. It's not my house. I don't get to, you know, dictate what they do or don't do. And, you know, we have a long-standing tradition of respecting private property rights here in Vermont. And I think that's really important to keep in mind in this conversation. With that being said, it's also really important to listen to, you know, the communities that we are part of and our neighbors. So when Sun Common develops solar community arrays, we really focus on making sure that we are trying to be attentive to that hosts' desire to have solar, but also, you know, the surrounding community that that community solar array will be part of, and whether that's through, you know, landscaping measures or, you know, choosing a different location on the land to, you know, where to site the array, or just abandoning it altogether. You know, it's important for solar to be welcomed in our communities for us to actually, you know, create the clean energy future that we're all kind of pushing for. So, you know, it's not a black and white issue, and a lot of people, you know, are trying with rhetoric to make this, you know, more black and white than it is. It's a community conversation, and we absolutely should have community input. But we also can't have community veto power. You know, it can't be that a town just says no, because it's really, really easy to say no, and change is, change is tough sometimes. But the reality of our status quo is, you know, reliant on too much dirty power and really negatively impacting the health of our environment for our kids and our grandkids. And we can't just say no. We need to figure out a way to properly say yes.
Okay, we're also joined on the line by Meg Armstrong, whose family has a farm in Essex. Meg, welcome to the Vermont Conversation.
Hello. Nice to be here.
Tell us a little bit about your family's farm and how renewables are part of what you're farming.
Well, our family is, I believe I'm the sixth generation. We've been farming the same land since 1867. For us, our projects, we've got approached, I don't know the exact dates, 6 years ago maybe, by a developer that was interested in for the first speed program, utilizing some of our land for solar power. And really nothing happened with it for an awfully long time because of all the people that were interested. We were put in a lottery system, and then our project did end up coming up right before the end of that program. And so for us, ours is a large-scale solar project. I believe so when it was built, it was the largest in Vermont. I don't think it is now. And there was really extensive permitting requirements. And so my feeling is for our project that anybody that wanted to have a say got a say. That being said, it was, you know, permitted through the Public Service Board along with a lot of other agencies, both federal and state. And the towns are not part of that process with veto power, but they definitely, the neighbors were notified. There was a Public Service Board hearing.
And did any neighbors object to the siting? It's a 15-acre solar farm, is that right?
Right. It's a 15-acre solar farm, and our farm has, I would venture to guess, maybe the most land abutters in the state of Vermont. We have 150, or more than 150 neighbors that abut our property. We're right within the Village of Essex Junction. So there was a lot of notification, and they were notified when the Public Service Board hearing was. We probably had, and we also, we as far as the landowners, put out, you know, I reached out to the closest neighbors and let them know what was going on. I think there was a lot of concern. On the other hand, everybody, we didn't have any objection. I think we had one person that wanted a few trees planted, which that was part of the permit conditions that we plant some trees. But other than that, it was, I think we tried to do a pretty good job of letting them know that this was part of keeping farming viable in the village. Was
so talk about that a little bit. What does this solar array mean to your family's farming operation?
Well, my brothers and nephew are the active dairy farmers. I'm a landowner, but I don't actively farm myself. So they run the farm, and they have run it profitably, and it's very challenging at times, but they're very good at it. what this project has meant for us is that it adds a steady income stream that's allowed us to do a couple things. One is a lot of deferred maintenance and some capital projects that had been on the back burner kind of forever, waiting for milk prices to come up or waiting for the right year or something to not have any pressure on it. The other thing it's helping with is we're also involved with the Vermont Land Trust in trying to preserve this farm, the development rights, which are separate from this parcel. So it's going to help with transferring this to the next generation, which at this point is my nephew, who's seventh generation that's farming.
So does this solar array on your farm in Essex Junction more than meet the power needs of the farm and generates income beyond that?
Yeah, we don't net meter. So what we're doing, our business arrangement with this is we don't actually own the solar array itself. We are the landowner, and we're leasing the land to PSEG, which is the actual owner. You know, basically, we contracted with a developer to develop the solar farm, and then we receive a lease payment for the use of that land during the life of the solar farm. And that was the best arrangement for us, since as farmers, we have the land, but we are not knowledgeable in running a solar array or developing it.
So were
that's a really common arrangement, and it's one that we've found. You know, we did not have any role in the construction of that project, but we've found that a lot of farmers, you know, they don't have the desire, honestly, to own a larger scale solar facility. They don't have the, you know, know-how to do it really well and cost effectively, but it's a great way for them to protect that land for future generation, get a lease payment off of it, and keep it from turning into houses or turning into a parking lot. The ability to use it in a way that leaves the land intact but also doesn't require them to come up with a whole lot of, you know, hard-to-find capital when you're trying to run a dairy farm. You don't need to try and get into the power business as well. So it's certainly been, that's been an arrangement that we have entered into with landowners as a way for them to benefit from hosting the community solar array without needing to, you know, take on full ownership.
Right. That's James Moore, co-founder of Sun Common. Meg Armstrong, one of the ways that we all know that farmers, are able to sustain themselves is often to break up the farm and sell off pieces to residential or commercial development. Has that happened over the years with parts of the Whitcomb farm that you're part of in Essex Junction?
Yes, and in both ways, I'll say. I mean, I think great-great-great-grandfather put five different small farms together back in the late 1800s. My grandfather at different times, bought adjacent small housing parcels, and he also sold parcels. The biggest chunk left when my grandfather passed away to get the farm to the next generation. There was, you know, a huge capital gain or inheritance, I'm not sure, tax. So almost 200 acres was sold off of a 640-acre farm. So we still have 440 acres intact, which is a sizable farm by any means. But and that's why we're working with Vermont Land Trust to preserve the rest of that. We did need to take out these 15 acres that we put the solar array on, because that is not, Vermont Land Trust couldn't preserve that as ag land because it is considered a large-scale solar farm. I hope they evolve past that, because I think a solar farm is still farming. I mean, you're still using land and sun, you know, resources to produce a commodity that is needed, and I think farmers are really uniquely positioned to help with some of those issues, whether it's energy or waste disposal or food waste, things like that.
What does, Meg Armstrong, what is keeping your family's farm going? You mentioned you're the sixth generation, and it's remarkable to hear you trace this back to the mid-1800s, an unbroken family connection to this land. What does it mean to you to keep this this farm viable and going?
Well, you should have my brothers on here since I'm, like I said, I'm kind of the, there's three siblings in my family, and I'm the only one that does not actively farm, but both my brothers have done it all their working lives. They enjoy it. They're very good at it, and my nephew is, you know, also taking that road, and there's a few more nephews and nieces in that generation that may still take that on. But it takes a lot of work and legal planning to make sure it does make the leap from generation to generation. That is the most difficult part of that.
And what is it that you would like legislators to know? I mean, you've now, I gather, been part of the group of farmers who have signed a letter to the legislature. What does it say, and what is it that you want them to understand?
Well, I mean, I think James alluded to this. On the surface of it, I think everybody would like to think that more local control for towns is always a good thing, but there's so many industries that really serve the greater good or a larger portion than just the towns, and farming is one of those things. I mean, there's a lot of things about farming that if local towns had control might not work, whether it's the trucks that come in at 4 in the morning or the sound of a vacuum pump when the milking equipment turns on. For us, like I said, we farm within a village, and the way Vermont law is that farms don't have to comply to some of those other zoning requirements within the village because they are running an ag business. And energy projects are similar. I mean, whether it's hydropower or solar, and I think wind and also methane digesters, you know, to think a local town would be knowledgeable enough to make educated decisions on that, I think, is unrealistic.
James Moore, we just have a minute left, but what is the fate of, what would you like to see happen with what the legislature decides about energy siting?
I think that we have seen the legislature last year take some steps to increase statewide required setbacks. We've seen the Public Service Board this year actually already, they denied some really large-scale projects because of specifically some of the comments made by a town and the language that was in that town's plan. So I actually largely think we have a process that works. There are some people, sometimes it's a solar developer and sometimes it's a town, who don't get what they want out of the process, but that doesn't mean that the process is broken. That means that party didn't get what they wanted and they're disappointed. You know, we've been on both ends of that equation. So I think this is high stakes policy making, and let's not, you know, make rash, quick judgments. And I think you saw this happen in the Vermont Senate with large portions of the legislation being, you know, completely rewritten without any testimony, without any kind of due diligence and thoughtful process, and that's dangerous, a dangerous way to make laws. So I hope that the House, if they do anything, they really take the time to figure out and hear from all of the different interested parties.
Okay, well, James, we're going to have to leave it there. James Moore, co-founder of Sun Common, and Meg Armstrong, whose family has a sixth-generation farm in Essex Junction. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, David.